Welcome. How nice to be here with you all. I hope you are all happy in Krishna consciousness. I'm sorry about this. You know, I'm pretty sure you can hear me at the back, can't you? You can hear me?
Yes.
It's okay. Anyway, I don't know what to say. Let us read this evening from Bhagavad Gita as it is. As we say in Hindi, Bhagavad Gita Yatha Rupam. In Gujarati, Bhagavad Gita Yatha Rupam. As it is in Gujarati. Okay, it's all right. I'll just say, Bhagavad Gita as it is. Yes, okay, and we're going to read from chapter 2, contents of the Gita summarized. And let us read verse 40. Fairly famous verse, quite a famous verse. But first of all, just repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So, Bhagavad Gita chapter 2, verse 40. Neha Bikrama Nashosti Pratyavayo Na Vidyate Swalpamap Yasya Dharamasya Triyate Mahato Bayat. Translation. In this endeavor, there is no loss or diminution, and a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. This is Lord Krishna speaking and expressing how effective the practice of Krishna consciousness is. It's like the idea is practically nothing can stop it. Nothing material at least can stop it. Let us read the purport by Srila Prabhupada. Activity in Krishna consciousness, or acting for the benefit of Krishna without expectation of sense gratification, is the highest transcendental quality of work. Even a small beginning of such activity finds no impediment, nor can that small beginning be lost at any stage. Any work begun on the material plane has to be completed. Otherwise, the whole attempt becomes a failure. But any work begun in Krishna consciousness has a permanent effect, even though not finished. The performer of such work is therefore not at a loss, even if his work in Krishna consciousness is incomplete. 1% done in Krishna consciousness bears permanent results, so that the next beginning is from the point of 2%. Whereas in material activity, without 100% success, there is no profit. Ajamil performed his duty in some percentage of Krishna consciousness, but the result he enjoyed at the end was 100% by the grace of the Lord. Let me just interrupt for a second. Devotees in the background there, let's not worry about it. Let's just relax. You'll probably have it finished just when we finish. Anyway, because you can hear okay, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes, good.
Which cable?
So yeah, let's just, you know, it's good. Okay, so let us continue. Hopefully you can keep the volume down. There is a nice verse in this connection in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.17. Tyaktva swadharman charanambujam hariya bhajan apakvota patetato yadi yatra kvava bhadram abud amushyakim kovarta apto bhajatam swadharmata. Can we close the door, perhaps? Poor fellow, he's trying his best. There's no loss. Okay, so I just read that, the Sanskrit of that verse, and the translation is, if someone gives up his occupational duties and works in Krishna consciousness and then falls down on account of not completing his work, what loss is there on his part? And what can one gain if one performs his material activities perfectly? That's the translation of that verse. And Prabhupada continues, or, as the Christians say, what is the profit for a man if he gains the whole world, yet suffers the loss of his eternal soul? Material activities and their results end with the body, but work in Krishna consciousness carries a person again to Krishna consciousness, even after the loss of the body. At least one is sure to have a chance in the next life of being born again as a human being, either in the family of a great cultured Brahmin or in a rich aristocratic family that will give one a further chance for elevation. That is the unique quality of work done in Krishna consciousness. Let me just read the verse again. Neha bikrama nashosti pratyavayu navidyate svalpamapyasya dharmasya triyate mahatobayat. In this endeavor there's no loss or diminution, and a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastha Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschitya Deshatane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchkapaturibhyaschakripa sindubhyevacha padidanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Again, thank you all for coming. And particularly those who've come from far. Bethel.
Really, some people from Secunda, it's more
Secunda. Really?
And Kinross.
And Kinross. Anyone here from Ermelo? 3, 4, okay. Well, anyway, Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. Welcome. Suswagatam. And we've chosen this verse this evening because it's just a very nice verse, first of all. But actually, it's a very important verse. Because here, Lord Krishna is distinguishing between the results of work done in Krishna consciousness, or particularly service to Lord Krishna, as compared to just ordinary material activity, just your typical work that just goes on everywhere around. And even he's comparing it to and contrasting how the results of Krishna conscious activity, service to Krishna, are even better, but quite different to the results of other types of, at least many other types, of religious activity. It's a very important point, because even you know, generally there's so many people perform religious activities of different sorts, be they Hindu, Christian. Prabhupada quoted a little Christian little saying, or it's a little verse from the Bible actually, or if they're involved in Islam or Buddhism, or even like the traditional African religions, and so on and so forth. Just different types, any types of religious activities people are doing, to a large degree, they are mainly interested in how will we get some material result from this religious activity we're performing. Like Prabhupada here mentioned that little Christian verse. There's a very famous one, I'm sure you've all heard of it, even if you just got no involvement whatsoever in Christianity. There's a famous verse. Give us, people are praying to God, give us today our daily bread. Have you heard that one before?
Yes.
Have you heard it?
Yes.
He hasn't heard it.
No, I haven't heard it.
Okay. You didn't miss much. Anyway, I shouldn't say that. But not exactly that. But let me just give you an interesting perspective on it. Spiritually, you didn't miss much, I must say. That Srila Prabhupada was, in the beginning of his activities in America, quite early on he visited one university to do a program. And it was sort of like the religious department. And so Srila Prabhupada began his presentation, and somehow or other that little verse, give us today our daily bread, somehow or other that was mentioned. And Prabhupada, you know, he was familiar with these things, so he had heard it before. And Srila Prabhupada, his reaction was that he said, What is this verse? What is it? He said, religion means to develop love for God. But what is this verse? This verse is about love of bread. we want bread. And means our religious activity, the idea, the goal is, we want bread. But bread, of course, bread is just something very temporary. You can only eat it once. Yeah. And then it's finished. And then you need more. So this is in keeping with what Prabhupada's saying here, that the result of material activity is temporary. I'm sure a number of you are working people, and you work to get money to live, but every month you have to work more to get more money to live, because this money you earn this month, by the time next month comes, it is finished. It's temporary. So this particular verse, also give us this day our daily bread, is talking about something temporary. Something which is inevitably going to be lost. Because the bread, even if you don't eat it, if you just let it sit, it will deteriorate. And after a little while, you will not be able to eat it. Everything material is temporary. So, but Krishna consciousness is not. Krishna consciousness is not. And therefore, it is a much better idea to focus in Krishna consciousness and work and render service to Krishna than to just do any ordinary material activity or even to do some religious activity which is material and which gives just a temporary result. And it's not only the Christians. You know the famous Om Jai Jagadisha Hare, you know that song. Every good Hindu knows that song. There is another verse you are not familiar with. They didn't teach you this verse. Let me just tell you what this verse is. Or the translation at least is, give me a house and a car and a color TV, Om Jai Jagadisha Hare. Yes. These are all temporary things. Whether you get them just by working in the factory or in business or in some employment somewhere, or whether you get the same things by worshipping God or some higher supplier, doesn't really matter. It's temporary in every case. But Krishna consciousness does not work like that, and that's what is being pointed out here. Srila Prabhupada makes that point that when someone is rendering devotional service to Krishna, without particularly on the more pure level, without expectation of any type of material gain, that by serving Krishna, I may get money or health or some material thing. Someone who is simply serving Krishna for the sake of pleasing Krishna without any personal motive or agenda, that such a person, even if they are not, say, by the time their life ends, even if they have not come to the perfect stage upon which they can then return to the kingdom of God, even if they only came halfway, or even just a few steps on the way, but next life, they will start from from that point, and then they will continue on. This is a very important point. Whereas on the material level, for example, if you, I think we have some scholars here who are attending school or university. University or school?
School.
Okay. And you?
University.
University. So you get your matric. Say you get your matric. And then, you know, you live for the rest of your life. And then you die. And then you get born again. When you get born again, you have to start again at standard R or whatever it is, something like that. And you have to do ABC again. And you cannot say, wait a minute, I got matric. See, I don't need to do this now because I got matric. No. You have to start again with ABC 1, 2, 3. Because the result, that result of matric, or even, are you doing a PhD? Not yet?
No.
Working on it.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's say you get a PhD in something. That's a lot better than matric. So, but next lifetime, you'll also have to begin with ABC 1, 2, 3. And you cannot say, listen, I got a PhD. Or say, in this life, perhaps you accumulated a lot of money. You became, as we say in Chatsworth, where I'm from, you became Big Lani. You became Big Lani. And you had big black Mercedes Benz with the tinted windows. Anyway, you know what I mean. And you became the richest man in Bethel. But when you're born in your next life, you are born penniless. You're born penniless. Because that was just that one lifetime. So this is the principle which is involved. That if someone, even for example, someone is practicing Krishna consciousness, devotional service to Krishna, in this lifetime, for some time, but then somehow they stop, for whatever reason, they stop chanting, they stop doing devotional service, they stop attending the programs associating with devotees, and they just sort of just get lost in day-to-day life. But then, after some time, they start again. They come back, because it happens sometimes. But when they come back and they start again, of course they have to just build up a little speed again, just get back into it a little bit. But very quickly, they will come back to the point of advancement that they had reached previously just before they stopped. You follow the idea? Yes. And therefore, even if a person gets sidetracked into some other way of living and some other ideas, but there's not exactly a loss, because they will again start later. They will. It's not like if they start again, then they will start at the point they left off. They will start again. And when that happens, they'll start at the point they left off. So there's no real failure. I mean, it's just unfortunate if they get sidetracked, but it's not exactly like a failure. You just lose everything and you're just finished. Prabhupada makes an interesting point in the purport that, let's see, any work begun on the material plane has to be completed, otherwise the whole attempt becomes a failure. Just as an example, take a house, take this house or your house, just any typical house. If the house is not finished, then it's a failure. For example, you're building your house and you don't finish it in the sense that you don't put any windows in. It's just the holes in the walls. Well, you try living in such a house. It's not easy. And actually, sooner or later, it'll deteriorate. What if you forget to... You build beautiful house with beautiful windows, and you forget one small detail, a door, a front door. And now you have to climb through the windows to get in. So it's a bit of a failure, isn't it? Yes. Like a motor car, Rolls Royce, first class motor car. And it's just, oh, super luxury. But one small detail, no steering wheel. What can you do? It's a nice place to sit, but you won't be able to use it. So it works like that on the material level. You go to university and you attend all the lectures and everything, but you don't sit the last exam. Then what? You don't get your degree. You can tell people, well, I almost, you know, did it. But it's not going to really help very much. So this is the point that Prabhupada's making, that a work begun on the material level, if it's not completed, then it's very hard for it to really be a success. Even, you know, just an interesting little point that, talking about buildings, if a building, like this one, if a building is simply left, and if it's not maintained, after some time, it may be quite some time, the building will fall to pieces. And this is why, you know, in Europe, like in England, and I'm sure in continental Europe, going back 100, 200 years, there were some rich people, they built these big mansions, really, really big. You know, 100 rooms, 200 rooms, 300 rooms. Yeah. 100 rooms was not so unusual. But for whatever reason, you know, they went bankrupt, they had to move out. No one would buy the house because it's too big, too expensive, and the house becomes abandoned. And now, if you drive around England, there are hundreds of these houses. They're like super millionaires, multi-millionaires. Houses, they are just another dimension of house altogether, but they're falling to pieces, literally. Literally falling to pieces. Yeah. Because this is what happens on the material level. On the material level, everything deteriorates. You know, you see sometimes pictures of these people who do exercises and bodybuilding and all that. But if they stop, They have to work hard to get to that point. But if they stop, they just become like us. The body falls to pieces. But it's different in Krishna consciousness. And even it's different. It's different. I'm so sorry you...
That's fine, no problem.
So it's not working.
No.
Such is life. I think it's an example of what we're talking about. Looks nice. Look, it's 1,000 watts. Oh, it's impressive. It's wireless too. Sure. Doesn't work. Yes, there's another further element here which sort of illustrates the value of Krishna consciousness even more. And that is, even, you know, we were saying, you may reach a certain point and either die or sort of get diverted, but then later you'll continue from the point you lived on. But there's a further point, even better than that. Sometimes you may only do a little in Krishna consciousness, but you may get a great result all the same. It's a very important point. And Srila Prabhupada, in this regard here, he gives the example of a person named Ajamil. Perhaps some of you have heard of Ajamil. He appears in the 6th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Right in the beginning of the 6th canto, first chapter, first and second and third chapters. It's the story of Ajamil. And it's a bit of a long story, but the basic point is this. That Ajamil was not a good person. He was actually really a bad person. Extremely degraded, sinful, and just... he was a bit of a wreck, really. Sort of like alcoholic, violent criminal, this type. Really not the right sort of person. So, Ajamil, he was living like that for so many years as he was getting older. And he had a wife who was same type of person. And late in their lives, the wife gave birth to a child when they were already quite old. Somehow she gave birth to a child. And they decided to name that child Narayan, which is a name of the Supreme Lord, a name of Lord Krishna. Narayan. Nara means the human beings, us. Ayana means the resting place, sort of like the home, the shelter of all the human beings. This is a name of the Supreme Lord. So they chose that name just because it was a popular name. You know, oftentimes devotees and Hindu people, they choose names for their children which have some religious significance. Even in Christianity, you know, I was born and brought up in a sort of quasi-Christian environment, and the child's first name in those days, you know, some years ago, it was always called the Christian name, and it was the name of a saint. Like John, the most popular name, as I understand, is John. It's the name of a saint. Paul, Peter, Mary, these are all names of saints. And so children, the first name was always some Christian name. And you all know what it's like in Hinduism. And now I was in Mauritius a little while ago, a couple of years ago now actually. And I met one young boy, Indian boy, and asked him, "What's your name?" He said, "Krishna." I said, "Really? I've been looking for you for years." Unfortunately, it was the wrong Krishna. Okay, but anyway, you know, because it's just the culture, people are given these names. Amongst devotees, it's generally different that the children are given such names because it is beneficial spiritually to have such a name. Because, because then, you know, that it's usually a name of the Lord or the name of some great devotee, something like that. And therefore, when people address you, you are hearing a name of God. When you think about yourself, you're thinking in terms of your name. Often it's a name of God. It's beneficial. In this case, Ajamil, he was not thinking like that. It was just a popular name. That's all. Simply a popular name. But it's happened to be a name of the Lord. And he and his wife, they're already, you know, on sort of on the elderly side. But now with this little boy, Narayan, you know what it's like with children. They were just, "Narayan, come here. Narayan, stop that. Narayan, where are you? Narayan, what are you doing?" All day is just Narayan, 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 chanting a name of the Lord, although they were not thinking like that. As far as they were concerned, we're just addressing our child. Because you know what children are like. Let me tell you a funny little thing. My maternal grandfather, my mother's father, his name was Norman. And when he was a child, he was naughty. None of our children are naughty. This little child here, are you naughty sometimes? Are you naughty sometimes?
No.
Good. I thought that might be the case. Never. And you always tell the truth, don't you?
Yeah.
That's right. Anyway, Norman, he was a bit of a character. So there was a sort of like, you could say, like a mantra amongst the adults in the family and the relatives. The mantra was, Go and see what Norman is doing and stop him. You follow that? See what Norman's doing and stop him. In other words, he's always up to some mischief. Okay. So anyway, but now this Ajamil and the son Narayan, the thing is, it's a name of the Lord. And he didn't know. But there was, every time he was calling out, Narayan, for whatever reason, many times every day, he was getting spiritual benefit. Some purification was taking place. Finally, when Narayan, the child, was around 5 years old, Ajamil died. Or he sort of went into the process of dying. He collapsed. And but he's still alive, but you know, is the process of dying is going on. And who should come but the Yama Dutas? They are the messengers of Lord Yamaraj, who is the Lord of Death, who takes all the materialistic people, takes them just at the time they die, takes them and judges them, and decides what will be their next body, in what situation they will be born next, in terms of how they lived in that, the previous life, which they just died in. So those Yamadutas, they came. Ajamil is not quite dead, although he's, you know, it's happening. And he saw these people. And they, those Yamadutas, they are really ghastly people. Shocking, shocking. Like monstrous. You know, sort of like Frankenstein or... In the African culture, they talk about tikalosh. In, you know, like in Hindu society, they might talk about, what do they say? Pishacha, Kachari, what do you say?
Rakshas.
Oh, okay. Well, Rakshas.
Pishach.
Yeah, Pishach. In English, you can say hobgoblin, ghoul. These are like really shocking people and nasty people too. So the Yamadutas look like that. You know, let me tell you another little story. One of our devotees was distributing books in Cape Town in a shopping center some years ago. And she met a heavy metal boy. You know what I mean? Long hair. All black, greasy, and yeah. And he was wearing a crucifix, one of these, you know, sometimes they wear a cross, but it's upside down. Upside down means the person is a Satanist. So met this young fellow, you know, in his 20s. And she stopped him and gave him a book and explained a little bit. And the fellow's looking at the book. And he said, well, you know, okay, that's interesting, but haven't you got something a little heavier? And she had in her book bag a copy of one of Prabhupada's books named Dharma. I don't know if you have it here. Dharma. And in it, there's illustrations. And there's one double page, big illustration, of exactly this type of scene. Someone is dying. And the relatives are, you know, lamenting. And the Yamadutas are dragging the person out of the body. And they look really ghoulish, like Pisach. You know, really, ghastly. And this young fellow, he looked at this picture. And he looked at the Yamadutas, and he said, wow, that's cool. And he bought the book. Yes, so, okay, anyway, back to Ajamil. There he was, and these Yamadutas, they're coming in to take him away. And it was so shocking, he just became bewildered. Didn't know what to do. All he could think to do was to call out for his son, Narayan. So he was calling out, Narayan, Narayan, help, help. What 5-year-old Narayan could have done against a gang of Yamadutas, or practically against anyone, I don't know. But that's all he could think of. Narayan, Narayan, help, save me. But then, because he was chanting the name of the Lord, the Vishnu Dutas came, the messengers of Lord Vishnu, who come to take the devotees at the time of death, take them back to the kingdom of God. They came and they challenged those Yamadutas. You can't take him. And the Yamaduta said, why not? This is Ajamil. You know what he's done. And the Vishnu Duta said, that may be. But he chanted the name of the Supreme Lord. He's liberated. He's delivered. And the Yamadutas had to leave. They left without Ajamil. And they went back, actually, to Yamaraj. And they asked him, what was this? Who were these people? And what's going on here? I thought you were the one who takes, you know, who judges these bad people, but now there's somebody else. And Yamaraj had to explain, yes, anyone who, for example, who wears tulsi, anyone who chants the name of the Supreme Lord at the time of death, you can't touch them. The messengers of Vishnu, they take them back to the spiritual world. And that's what happened to Ajamil. He went back to Godhead. Even though, well, he went back to Godhead because he was chanting a name of the Lord at the time of death, and he had been chanting for some time up just before that point. Although he was chanting, he thought, calling his son. But actually he was chanting a name of the Lord. He got that benefit. He returned to the kingdom of God. And that narration is there in Srimad Bhagavatam specifically to make this point that even if someone is just a first-class nonsense, but if somehow they become attached to chanting the name of the Supreme Lord, Krishna, or one of his names like Narayan, then still, they will be delivered. Even if they were not chanting very nicely, even as in the case of Ajamil, they're chanting to indicate something else, still they get the benefit and they're delivered. So this is a further sort of expansion on this point. On one hand, if your progress is interrupted, still when you start, you will start again, and when you do, you start from where you left off, so there's no loss. But not only that, even if you only do a little, and even if you don't do it so well, still you may get the full result. Even the full result, because the Lord is very kind to his devotees. So, therefore, devotees and friends, let us take this to heart and really try and apply this in our lives. It's an extremely important point. And this chanting, let me just give you an example, a modern day example of this type of chanting where people are chanting, speaking a name of God, but they're chanting it, they're speaking it, to indicate something else altogether. Today, and I mean literally today, there's a type of margarine, and it's just practically all over the whole world. I was just in Russia, it's there. It's all over Russia. It's all over America. It's all over Europe and England, it's in South Africa. I don't know if it's in India, but if it's not, I'm sure it will be sooner or later. And it is called Rama.
Not in India, it's Amul in India.
Okay, Amul.
Amul is captured.
No, but soon it will be. You know, they're pushing to get everything into India, to get take the money off the Indian people. So, but this is a point. People, it's all over. At least it's really. I'm sure they're selling millions of, packs every day. Millions. And because people like it. And people know it. And I'm sure people go into the supermarket and ask, where's the Rama? And if the supermarket people say, no, we don't have any, we've only got, some other brand.
Blossom. Blossom.
Blossom, okay, Blossom. Then I'm sure some of them say, no, I only want Rama. When is the Rama coming in? So it's exactly an example of this, exactly the same thing. A name of God, but being used to indicate something else. And the people, at least so many, they got no idea. No idea of what is the transcendental reality. Anyway, yeah, but when the time of death comes for those people, I don't think that they're going to call out, Rama, where's the Rama margarine? As they're dying. But at least in the meantime, it is beneficial. So there you go. There you go. Please chant the names of the Lord, particularly Hare Krishna, because it is the Maha Mantra. Maha Mantra, I guess there's also, what would you call it, Chota Mantra? Chota? Small Mantra. This is Maha Mantra, great Mantra. Yeah, especially Hare Krishna, but any genuine name of God. And you'll experience, first of all, you'll experience an internal positive transformation within yourself, your thinking, your attitudes, your desires, your emotions, a purification of those things, and that you get extraordinary internal pleasure from it, that you'll experience. And then in due course, back home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Any comment or question? Because, I was told that the devotees from Ermelo and Secunda and Kinross are very intelligent, and Bethal too. and from India, Bharat say, yeah, also. And I was told they're very thoughtful. And therefore they have many questions. They're very interested to understand more. That's what they told me. You're from India?
Yeah.
Yeah? Which part?
Mathura.
Oh, Mathura. Okay. Which part of Mathura?
It's near the Vrindavan. My place is near the Vrindavan.
Home is... Janmabhoomi side?
It's across the river Yamuna.
Oh. What's
the
name?
To the Vrindavan. It's a place called Raya.
Oh, Raya. I know
where
Raya.
There is a Yamuna expressway.
I know Raya. I've been there many times. It's not near Mathura. That's way away. It's like 20 kilometers away.
It's 12 kilometers from Mathura.
Okay, 12.
It's opposite to Vrindavan, if you see there.
Yeah, no, I know Raya.
But many people are falling into the jam.
Yeah.
That's it.
Bail Van, you know Bail Van?
Yeah, Bail Van.
Bandira Van?
Yeah, Vrindavan, we used to travel the name.
No, Bandira Van, you know, that's just next to Raya. Okay. I think maybe just before Raya. And Bail Van. They're two of the old forests. TK, and why are you here in Ermelo?
Actually, Government of India has taken a project over with ESCOMs.
Oh.
So we are laying a railway line over here.
Achcha.
So once it is completed, we are back to
Achcha. India. I see. Okay.
Hardly 3 or 4 months we are here.
Achcha. Oh, you've already 3 or 4 months?
No.
Only for three.
Yeah.
And then?
You're back to.
Okay. Next time. Anyway, next time I come to Raya, maybe we'll meet.
Yeah, definitely. We will be glad.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Okay.